You're listening to the Armed American Radio Network, brought to you every week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. And now, your host, Mark Walters.
Welcome, America, to Armed American Radio. And I do mean America. We are marching across the United States like nobody's business. God bless the syndicators. I'm your host, Mark Walters. Welcome to the program. Our board operator down in Dallas is Sean. He's doing a bang-up job on the boards. Should you wish to participate in this evening's program, please feel free to reach out to us at 877-956-9566. That's 877-956-9566. Or you can catch us on the internet if you're listening to us on the feed. Feel free to pick us up at mark@armedamericanradio.org. Shoot me over an email at mark@armedamericanradio.org, and we'll put you live on the air and listen to your questions. Ladies and gentlemen, if you missed us last week, you missed a dynamite program, my friends. We had Masoud Ayoub on, just did an outstanding job. He was absolutely brilliant, and we're going to talk a little bit about that interview with him coming up later in the hour. We've got Mr. Gabe Suarez from Suarez International is going to be joining us live for the first hour of the program. My guest host tonight will be George Hill, the ever-popular Mad Ogre. You got to love George Hill. And we get a lot of feedback every time George is on the show, both positive and negative. George, I know you're listening. We get positive and negative feedback. So, okay, what we want to do was we want to go over to, well, you know what I'm going to do? I think I'm going to bring George in first while I read some of these emails and get his opinion over here. George, can you hear me okay? You on live with Armed American Radio, my man. How you doing?
Absolutely. It's a fantastic day out here in the desert of Utah.
Right.
Beautiful day. We had a long day shooting, so I'm just kind of kicking back today and resting. And, this is going to be a good show. We've got Gabe Suarez. He's been a trainer as long as I can remember. He's very popular. He's doing a lot of work with the Force on Force stuff and the AK. So he's a good source of information.
He's a pioneer, my man, and he's listening to us right now. I see him blinking on the line. We'll bring Gabe in here in just a couple minutes. I want to read a couple emails that, you know, we continue to get these things week after week as we grow. I'd like to mention tonight that we do have listeners out at WKEU in Griffin, Georgia, 88.9 FM, 1450 AM picking us up. We appreciate that. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the Armed American Radio Network. We are being listened to live in Liberal, Kansas. Liberal, Kansas is picking us up. And I understand, George, that we've just added a new station in Carrollton, Georgia. Carrollton, Georgia, WLBB, is picking up Armed American Radio. They're on the broadcast as well. So we're marching across the country like a California wildfire fed by 45 caliber flames. You got to love it.
That's outstanding. You know, the more people actually listen, the more they learn, the more they want to tune in, the more they want to spread the information, the more people are going to be... you know, getting emails and Twitters and instant messages saying, "Hey, tune in. You got to listen to this show." So it's going to continue to grow. There's nothing going to stop this.
Nah, this is going across the country, and we're just going to keep booming.
Unless you get the fairness doctrine, and they say we have to have like Sarah Brady on as like a co-host, then I'm not sure if I would want to listen to that. So,
George, this program is fairness. Let me read a couple emails. One of them is going to be close to your heart because we had. Something come in about the statistics that you and I covered a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
This one here says, "Mark, first I want to say I love the show and I listen every week. I enjoy every aspect of your program, but I strongly feel the best part of the show are the personal accounts of others who have had to use a weapon in self-defense of themselves and their family. As a concealed weapon permit holder, I carry everywhere that I am legally allowed to in my state. The stories and personal accounts that are told on your show are just a reminder to me that I need to carry everywhere I am allowed. The great Masoud Ayoub once said, criminals do not make appointments." In fact, I think you were on the program when he said that, George, and it's such a true statement. We'll talk about it in a bit. "I found the story about the death of Nikki Gosar's husband to be especially horrific. My state still does not allow concealed weapons permit holders to carry our guns in establishments that sell and serve alcohol. I think Ms. Gosar's story is just another example that while legislators might not feel weapons should be carried by responsible citizens, in certain places, criminals will carry and use weapons against innocent people no matter what the law says. Once again, love the program, and I will continue to listen to every episode. That's Ty in Montana. Montana, brother. Montana.
I didn't even know they had radio in Montana.
They got radio in Montana, and they got armed American radio in Montana, and that's an absolutely beautiful thing. You've got to love that.
Yeah, Montana's a great state.
Samuel Rouse, you were listening to the broadcast last week live, were you not?
I was listening. Now, he makes a good point that there's that mental image of the Western bar with whiskey sliding across the countertops and gunslingers and then, of course, the big shootouts and brawls that happen afterwards in every Western movie out there. But that is really not reality. So I can see where, you know, this emotional base, hey, we don't want the Old West gunslinging, but the reality is you've got lots of restaurants that serve booze with the food. People go in, family establishments, so people can have a beer or a wine with their meal. And how come they have to be defenseless in those situations? That part I do not understand.
Well, they don't have to be. They shouldn't have to be. And, you know, people are waking up to that. Fodder for another program. Let me go on to another email here. George, you were listening last week when we were talking to the absolute hero, Samuel Rouse, who was being redeployed. His father wrote me another email. It says, Mark, I have an update on Samuel. His departure has been delayed for 1 week. Seems the ship had some problems, and they were not able to put the equipment on board, so they are in a hurry and wait-up mode right now. We wanted to thank Rob Pincus and Mike Janich for the kind words they had for Samuel on the show the other night. So could you pass this information on to them? Samuel did send his mailing address, and it's listed below. You were right about the Super Tuck. I've been wearing it for hours now, and it's great. I will be getting one for the other brand of 40 that we have. I want to thank you again for all you're doing, and I'm looking forward to this week's show. My next goal is to find some force-on-force training. Gabe, you can hear that, so we're going to see what we can hook him up with in Texas. Somewhere close to go to, it really sounds like this is the best ways for realistic training there is. I will provide updates as we get them. That's from Ed Rouse, Samuel's father, the hero with the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit, Charlie Company, Samuel Rouse. Folks, grab a pen and a piece of paper. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to give you the address. We've adopted him here at Armed American Radio, and we want to get them packages from home. So grab that pen and paper, and we'll be back in just a second with that address for you, okay? Also, George, yeah. Gabe's listening right now, and we're talking about that force-on-force. I'm going to read this other letter here that I have at the second hour because it goes into some statistics that I want to talk with you about. I'll get that out, folks. But right now we're going to go ahead and bring Gabe Suarez in. Gabe Suarez, you are on Armed American Radio. It is a pleasure to finally get you on the airwaves, my friend. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great. It's an honor to be here.
Well, thank you very much. It's great to have you on the program. Gabe, force-on-force training, you're the internationally recognized expert. Man, the floor is yours, brother. Talk to us.
Well, thank you. Basically what we do is, you know, a lot of our staff and myself included, we've been in a number of, you know, armed confrontations and things like that, and we saw that the way these things actually work isn't the way they work on the range. And so, you know, we looked for a way to take that knowledge that you know, we gained in dangerous situations and offer it to our students. And so we set up some training in the force-on-force area. We used airsoft rather than the super expensive and available only to cops simunitions. And we've been doing this for about 5 years now, maybe a little bit longer than that. And I'll tell you what, it's made all the difference. It's turned the training world upside down, because now for the first time, you can actually test out what you're doing against a live human being that isn't standing there like a target is waiting for you to shoot him.
Gabe, I have a question for you that has, you know, our good friends, Mr. Vincent Savage, you know Vincent.
I do. Good friend
and,
of mine.
Yeah, very close friend of mine as well, and he's taken some of your training. I'm embarrassed to say that I just simply have not had the time, but I was talking with Tim Schmidt about that a couple weeks ago, and I think Tim and I are going to take off and hit a couple of your classes, so we're good. Really looking forward to that. Drawing on a drawn weapon, Gabe, I've read every word you've ever written in Concealed Carry magazine. And it's my understanding that you've studied this for quite some time. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Can you draw on a drawn weapon successfully?
Yes, you can. Now, again, it's like the airbag in your car. You don't get in your car and say, I'm going to test the airbag today and see if it works. You know, it's one of those things that's there if everything else fails. Obviously, if you can avoid, you know, through your mindset and your awareness and, you know, and obeying the don't go to stupid places with stupid people situation, you probably avoid having to do it. But if you do find yourself in that situation, rather than say, well, you know what, the bad guy got me, there's nothing I can do, we do give guys options of what to do. And surprisingly, in training, the success rate is pretty high.
Gabe, I need to ask you to hold on to that thought. You can hear some Kiss in the background. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with the Mad Ogre and Gabe Suarez with Force on Force discussion right after these messages.
Going into battle, you would want all the ammunition for your gun you could get. But presently, ammunition and reloading supplies are in shortage. Now think about this. If you have no food, all the guns and ammunition will be useless against the population-controlled breadlines. In the present battle for freedom and the lives of your loved ones, food is your most important and only true ammunition. How much do you want? When do you want it, now or after the battle starts? When will you need it? Will you buy it without proper identification? Will it make your children sick? Quarantine? Will you feed yourself or go to the gathering center for immunization? All of these problems disappear if you have a good supply of storable food. Food is your ammunition to fight for your freedom and your life. How much will you need? We don't know. How much do you want? All you can get. Storable food puts you in control. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, eFoodsDirect.com. Call 800-409-5633.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, And now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
That's good music. That stuff just came out on the Rock Band Xbox 360, if I'm not mistaken, in the newest edition, so pick a copy up. I'm going to have to get that for myself. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Armed American Radio, the Armed American Radio Network, where we're marching across the country week after week. We appreciate you joining us tonight. We've got another fantastic lineup. Gabe Suarez is on a line with us tonight, as is Mr. George Hill. Before we get back to both of them in that discussion we were having with Gabe, I'd like to mention that you probably heard my producer here locally yell in. We were working on some headsets, so if you did, don't worry about it. It was just Mr. Eugene Bright fixing a headset problem, but we believe we've got that wrapped up. Gabe, we were talking about drawing on a drawn gun before that Kiss music rudely interrupted you. That fascinates me for a couple of reasons, and I would really like to get your opinion out here over the airwaves again as to what you have found out over the years studying the drawing on a drawn weapon. Talk to us about that some more.
Well, a lot of it is dependent on the distance from the adversary. Obviously, if you are within touching distance, probably it's going to be a combative situation, some sort of a disarm attempt or something. Now, one of the tenets that we use in our training is we want everybody to be as complete a fighter as possible. That means that not only should you be a good shot and be well-versed in force-on-force and everything else, but you should have some knowledge in hand-to-hand combat, disarming, you know, pistols and fighting with your hands and that sort of thing. Doesn't mean you have to be the UFC champion, but, you know, the fight may come to you that way, and you have to be able to resolve it. So the first issue is, am I outside of arm's length? If I am, then it's a gun problem. And what we found works best, and again, not a guarantee, but what we found that works best is some very sharp and dynamic movement off of the line of fire. In other words, where the adversary has the gun pointed, very dynamic movement off that line as you present your own pistol. We do this in force-on-force classes routinely. And like I said, the results are astounding.
Yeah, you know, I've read all of your stuff, and it's my understanding that you're more than likely going to get shot at bad breath distance if you try to draw on that drawn weapon. And that doesn't mean necessarily shot dead, but that does mean wounded. Do you find that in your training?
Well, if somebody stands still and tries to outdraw the drawn gun, you're not going to make it. All right? Because it's based not on the speed of your draw. It's based on you basically moving the target away from where the bad guy is aiming. And we've got a number of different methods that we teach for getting off the line of fire that they really have to be experienced to be understood. They're very, very fast. Unless somebody just makes a mistake or, you know, slips on the ground or just simply doesn't have the physicality to be able to move, they will be able to pull it off. We teach people to do it usually on a, you know, weekly, monthly basis.
Well, you know, that's you bring up another good point. I could talk with you for hours about this because I've read so much of your stuff and I'm looking forward to taking the classes. But you mentioned the physicality of it. And in so many of your writings, I've seen that, the gun does not replace your ability to get out of dodge if necessary. In other words,
Right. You've
got to remain physically fit in order to effectively gunfight. Did I state that correct?
For the most part, yeah. Now, you know, if you don't have to be an Olympic champion to be able to win a gunfight, but it certainly helps. Not only because a gunfight is going to require movement. You know, if somebody starts shooting at you, you know, your natural inclination is not to stand there. It's going to be to get the hell out of the way and get behind something. First you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to move. The second issue, and, you know, guys that are listening that have actually been in gunfights will know what I'm talking about, your body has to be capable of withstanding the adrenaline dump that you're going to get. You know, if you win the gunfight and then a couple of minutes later, you know, you stroke out right there on the sidewalk or have a massive heart attack, you know, what kind of victory is that? So, you know, as much as your age and your true medical condition will allow, you should be in as good a physical condition as is realistically possible.
Now, that adrenaline dump happened to me. I've been in a situation where I won't beat it up here, where I actually drew my weapon on somebody that was an attempted carjacking. And I am very familiar with that adrenaline dump, the massive one that it was, and the absolutely incredible headache that it leaves in, sure, in its aftermath was mind-boggling. You know, trying to see straight was near impossible. So, you know, I mean, I've been frightened by a dog before. Everybody has. You know, something catches you off guard, you get, you know, a dog jumps up on you or something like that,
yeah,
and all of a sudden you
do that to me all the time now.
Yeah, if it comes up behind you, sneaks up on you, and next thing you know, your heart's going through the roof. You know, you get,
sure,
a real test to tell if the ticker's working. Now let's push that into a gunfight where it's a life and death scenario. And I don't want to put you on the spot with too many. You know, I could say, you know, you're walking out of a convenience store. We see this stuff on the Best Defense TV with Rob and Mike, and they set up some wonderful scenarios. Can you, let's take the force on force now to another step. You've got some new training, from what I understand, some new classes from looking at your site today, that is in your face gunfighting. How,
yeah,
does that differ?
Well, it's called a 0 to 5 foot pistol gunfighting, and you know, in the original force on force training, we tried to keep the distance outside of arm's reach because we had so many people coming to us that were basically classically trained shooters. They were range shooters. They'd go to the range, they'd stand there 7 yards, they'd fire pairs, you know, and feel good about themselves and check their score and all that sort of thing. And, you know, so they come to force-on-force class, and, you know, it's like taking somebody that's read a lot about swimming and all of a sudden throwing them into the North Sea and telling them to swim to shore. You know, sometimes it's too much. So we kept it outside of arm's reach. Now, the 0 to 5 foot class, it basically all takes place inside of arm's reach to just outside of arm's reach. And, you know, it's very physical, and it is demanding. And we do everything from empty hand against knife, empty hand against pistol, ground fighting, drawing against the drawn gun. Every scenario or every situation that the majority of gun-focused people would look at and say, this is a no-win situation. We teach you options on how to prevail in those situations.
Yeah, because now you're talking about somebody that literally is up in your face, and that's when the fight gets very personal.
Sure. Yeah.
A knife fight, very personal. Anybody that's seen the movie Saving Private Ryan can remember the scene with the knife.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very disturbing, and that's a movie, for crying,
yeah,
out loud.
Yeah.
Gabe, I'm going to try to put you on the spot here one time.
Sure.
I took some multiple attacker training at, coincidentally, 2 weeks prior to having to draw my weapon, and thank God I didn't have to fire, but on multiple attackers. It was coincidental, but all of that training came back to me. It was the second time that I had taken the course and had moved to the advanced level. And in the classroom, what he did was he drew a wall behind you, and he says, okay, this is a worst-case scenario. I'm going to have to hold this off, Gabe, but what I want to do is get your opinion on three people coming at you, each one armed with a different weapon.
Sure.
And which one to take out first.
Okay.
The answer that I got was fascinating. We're going to go to a break here in just a couple seconds, but when we come back, I want to get your answer on that, and I want to bring in George. George,
okay,
are you still breathing out there in Vernal, Utah?
I'm listening and learning and taking notes.
I'm telling you, I'm taking notes too, Gabe. I got to let you know my pen's going like crazy.
Thank you.
And I do have your site up, and I want to get into a little bit more with you. So, guys,
how fast this stuff happens.
Oh, it truly is, and everybody can hear the music, so stick around with us. We'll be right back with some interesting information from Gabe Suarez, and we'll bring the Mad Ogre back into the conversation as well. Talk to you in a few seconds, folks.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
Hi, my name is Shirley Van Heest. I'm from Michigan, and I've been using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan for about 9 months. When I was introduced to the three-step plan, I saw the value of it, and I saw the potential in it. It offers an opportunity to provide some security that you can be in charge of. So many things are out of our control in today's economy, and if we can set ourselves up in business, and we can secure our own future, then I guess we don't have to worry too much. We will get through whatever difficulties may lie ahead. I have never seen anything that has worked so wonderfully. I have seen the potential in it, and now it's becoming realization. And I have really seen great results. I'm feeling very positive about the future and very positive about the growth of my own particular business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby. For more information, go to 3stepplan.com or call 888-366-5258. 888-366-5258.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Welcome back to Armed American Radio, where we are visited tonight by the one and only internationally recognized force on force trainer, Gabe Suarez of Suarez International, and the Mad Ogre, the very popular Mad Ogre, George Hill, joins me. George will be with me for the rest of this hour and into the second hour until the program closes again tonight. So, having said all that, first off, I'd like to mention everybody, please, if you're not a member of the United States Concealed Carry Association, you can join us at www.usconcealedcarry.com, where you can read Mr. Suarez's incredibly informative columns every 8 months. Gabe has been putting out some amazing information in that magazine, and I've picked it up and learned an awful lot from it, and I'm really looking forward to putting it to the test out in the field. Having said that, Gabe, I was setting up a scenario for you. You ready?
Sure, go.
All right, what he did was... He mentioned to me, and this was a multiple attacker training course for those that may be just picking us up. My back is against the wall. I've got a Glock, and at that time I was shooting a Glock 36. A Glock 36, full magazine, and standing approximately 10 to 12 feet from me, coming at me, I was forced to draw my weapon. To my left, I had a thug with a 38, center, a man with a knife. To the right, a pistol grip shotgun. All three of them coming at me. I had to draw and fire. Which ones did I take out first? What would you recommend? And I know that that's a loaded question. I know it's a loaded question. So I'll tell you what he did. My first was shotgun 38 knife, and he told me I was dead. He said I needed to take the knife first. Is that what's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I would say number one, it's not a good idea to get yourself into a corner like that, because mobility is your greatest asset when you're fighting by yourself. And so the last thing that I would want to do is stand with my back against a wall and have three adversaries standing there abreast facing me, because each one of them only has one target, whereas I have three. So tactically not a good thing. Rather than do that, what I'd rather do is keep my mobility and my movement and try and stack them up, you know, in a line in front of me, so that, you know, I have basically one target at a time and they can't really get to me, and so on. That would be what I would try and do with footwork and maneuvering, so that I make it hard for them to get to me. The second thing is, it depends on who is closest, because those, basically all three of those weapons are very dangerous. Many times people underestimate the knife because they think, well, you know, it's just a knife. But the knife man, I would say, is a very dangerous, you know, adversary in that situation. What I might do under those circumstances, and again, it's just, you know, it's without knowing what the actual setup was, if there were any issues with cover or whatever, I would probably move toward the man with the 38, shoot him probably in the head, and move to a position where I was beside the knife man, and not so much in front, and then take whoever I have available at that point. But I would seek really, really hard to move to the flanks.
Yeah, his reasoning, and this gentleman was a Clearwater SWAT instructor down in Florida, and his reasoning was that the knife is a personal attack. The knife is almost a sexual thrill. The man with the knife must get on top of you to do you harm.
Mm-hmm.
And that the odds in that situation were, if they were intent on doing you harm, that he was going to charge you. And we all know the 21-foot rule. Well, maybe we don't all know the 21-foot rule, but...
Well, the 21-foot rule comes from Dennis Tooler, mm-hmm. Who was a police officer, and he found that and did a lot of studies on knife-wielding lunatics, that within 21 feet, a guy with a knife can get on you and hurt you before you can get your weapon out and hurt him back. And in a lot of training scenarios, we've proven that, yes, that's true, or if we've had a particularly slow knife wielder, that no, it wasn't quite true. Either way, no matter how that comes down, you're going to get cut. So in this scenario, what I would do is try to keep some distance or put a barrier between me and the knife guy, take out the guy with the shotgun, and then put a round through the guy with the 38.
You see, we're hearing a different deal. I was shocked when he told me that. My instinctive reaction would have been to go for the guns first, but that's why we take training from folks like Gabe and Mass and
you know,
else
the
out
thing
there.
Is, the scenario is a really bad one. It's like, well, you know, your plane is going to crash. Do you go down and burn with it, or do you jump out and splatter on the concrete?
You make a great point, man. You did. You made a great point.
And, or do you go for the stewardess?
Hey, George, this is a prime opportunity for me to ask you this. As many times as you've been on this program, and as many times as I've read the frequently asked questions on your blog, Gabe, if you haven't seen it, listeners, mattogre.com, and go over to the FAQ section. George, Ginger or Marianne, my brother?
The answer is both. And the reason why do you think these guys could build elevators and aircraft carriers on that little island? They never built a boat because they had Marianne and Ginger there. The answer is both.
You know, I was watching, I wanted my kids to see a Gilligan's Island rerun. They don't run it anymore. And I was watching it all. You can pick up the episodes online, and my little boy, 5 years old, bless his heart, watching his first Gilligan's Island episode with me on the computer screen, and he says, Daddy, he said, how come the girls all change clothes but those boys don't? You know, I kind of never thought
girls.
About it. I guess, you know, they came with boxes of it. We're off the subject. Gabe, back to gunfighting. We have limited time with you, and you know, I want the listeners to pick up as much information as they can. Let's go from the pistol craft, if we want to call it. Let's go to the AK. I know that's one of your favorite weapons.
Sure.
Talk to us about it.
Well, like most instructors, you know, I knew about the AK, and it just sort of sat there. And as soon as I moved to Free, Arizona, that's one of the first things that I bought. You know, I didn't work with it very much. And then shortly after the whole 9/11 thing, one of my students was going to go over to the Middle East to be a contractor. And, you know, he got hired by one of these maybe not-so-famous, not-so-well-funded companies. And they told him that he would have to procure an AK once he got in country. He had no knowledge on AKs or how to run one, so he called me in terror, you know, asking for advice on what, you know, he should do. And so I grabbed the one AK that I had and went out into the woods here in Arizona and spent about a week training with it. And, you know, I developed a nice little package of skills, weapon manipulations and so on, and I sent it off to him. But, you know, what impressed me about the AK is it's simple to use. You can't break the thing. You know, it does everything that you would ask an assault rifle to do without any of the problems that you run into with some of the other weapons that are popular here in the U.S.
Okay, well, let's compare that because we're obviously referring to the AR-15. George wrote a piece that still gets him in trouble several years later about why he hates the AR-15. And I could ask him why he's building AR-15s now, but I'll save that for another show. The difference between the two, let's talk about the caliber first, Gabe. What do you like about the 7.62 versus the 2.23 or 5.56?
Well, the first of all, you know, you have to look at where rifle fights are taking place today. You know, we're not fighting World War I all over again where we shoot at each other from trench to trench. People are fighting each other in urban areas, in built-up areas, and the length of shots tend to be shorter distance, not only in police situations, there's a lot of police data now on the use of rifles, but also in the hands of private citizens in events like the LA riots, the Katrina situation, and so on, and also in infantry. You know, not only U.S. military, but other militaries and other groups of people that use rifles around the world that I have maybe either contact with or information from and so on. And roughly the average, you're looking at 25 to 50 yards in wooded areas. It's simply because you can't see any farther than that. So any rifle can reach out to that distance. That's not a big concern. Even out to, you know, 200-300 yards, it's still not a big concern with either one. The 30 caliber will penetrate cover that the 5.56 will not. It will go through brush and shrubbery and so on that the 5.56 will not.
Okay, hang on to that thought for just a second, gentlemen. We will be right back with Armed American Radio and get some more opinion from the experts right after these messages.
Visit the United States Concealed Carry Association online at usconcealedcarry.com. Formed in 2003 by Mr. Timothy J. Schmidt, the USCCA is the nation's ultimate resource for the armed citizen. Now boasting tens of thousands of members in all 50 states, the USCCA has become America's leading source of information for the law-abiding citizen who has chosen to arm themselves. Your membership to the USCCA will include a subscription to the association's flagship publication, Concealed Carry Magazine. Mailed to all members 8 times annually, Concealed Carry Magazine has become America's most important single source of information for those who choose to live the armed lifestyle. Each issue is packed with the information you need, including unbiased product reviews, gun safety tips, training techniques, and informative columns written by some of the most knowledgeable authors in the field of personal defense. Become a member of the USCCA today online at usconcealedcarry.com. Join the thousands of Americans who have made the same decision you have. Join today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you are faced with the decision to pay your mortgage or your credit cards or buy groceries, then this message is for you. The real solution to solving your problem with credit card debt is to reduce the amount you owe to creditors. The less you owe, the more money you will have for more important things in life. Strategic Resources wants to give you information about all your options for free. In a simple 5-minute phone call, you can find out which programs work best for your life now. 800-981-9371. 800-981-9371.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll-free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
The credit card companies have received government bailouts, and you're still struggling to make ends meet. If you are behind on your credit card payments, call for powerful, free information and consultation from Financial Freedom of America. The facts are, Financial Freedom of America can show you how to cut your credit card debt in half, and the credit card companies are willing to negotiate for less than what you owe. So now is the time to act. If you need a partner to work on your behalf, call now to get maximum savings off your debts. Financial Freedom of America settled over $27 million in credit card debt last year alone. They can do the same for you. It all starts with a free 10-minute personal and confidential consultation. There is no cost or obligation to find out about this life-changing program. Individual results may vary, not available in all states. So call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191. If you need a personal bailout, call 800-804-0191. 800-804-0191.
George, my producer, just walked in and said, "You forgot Lovey." And I thought to myself, how in the world could we forget Lovey? You know, I guess as long as none of the three of us here say the professor, we're in tall cotton, right?
You know, between Marianne and Ginger, who was that?
Yeah, thank you very much. Okay, moving on. Welcome back to Armed American Radio, everybody. I'm your host, Mark Walters, the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine. And we are joined by the very popular Gabe Suarez of Suarez International, force-on-force expert and trainer, worldwide, I should say. International means just that when you're talking about Suarez. And the ever-popular Mad Ogre, George Hill, is back on the air with us for the remainder of the program. Gabe, we were talking about the caliber between the 7.62 and the 223. First, I want to tell you that I've owned both. And the AK, I had what I consider to be a workhorse. We were talking about it here during the break. I had a Arsenal SLR-95, and that thing, you know, I never had a problem with it. I can't tell you how many thousands and thousands, over 20,000 rounds I've put through that weapon. In fact, I've shot it with your good friend and my good friend, Vincent Savage, here in Georgia many times. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, you can do anything you want to that thing.
That's right.
Compare it now to the AR. What makes the AR, where, you know, the versatility of the AR? Is that a factor?
Well, you know, one thing I want to say is the AR is a lot more reliable than people give it credit for, just as the AK is a lot more accurate than people give it credit for. The only issue is the AR, because of its design and construction and so on, is a much more delicate rifle and a much more complicated rifle. You know, you've got, I'd have to sit and count, but it's, what, 6 or 7 different controls that an operator has to learn, whereas the AK, you've got a trigger, a safety, a bolt, and a magazine release, and that's it. And you can learn the manual of arms for an AK in 5 minutes. So now the AR, it does have an advantage that it's modular. that it's like the Barbie gun. They make everything for it. The AK, not so much. But by the same token, you don't really need much with an AK. So, you know, it all depends on what somebody wants to use. I'll tell you, if I needed to go, you know, and get dumped off on another planet somewhere and I had to take one rifle with me, it would be an AK because I know that I'm not going to break it, no matter what I do to it, short of it getting, you know, thrown out of an airplane at 30,000 feet or something like that. And it probably would still work after that.
Yeah, I agree with you. Agree with you 100%. And I say that from experience with my AK. Now, I no longer have that gun. And I've been flirting and playing with my AR-15, with the Smith & Wesson M&P AR-15, and I love it. But you're right. But I think what you said is the key. What epitomizes the AR-15 versus the AK-47 is its basic functionality.
Now, the one thing about the AK is that it gets kind of a bad rap for being less accurate. And you have to look at the history of the AK, who's all producing the AK, who's all producing ammunition in it. And there's, you know, kind of a stacked deck against it, but the AK can be shockingly accurate. My brother, two-tour combat veteran, came back from the sandbox, came out here, did a little prairie dog hunting with me, and he brought out with him an AK-47, and we did some prairie dog hunting. He saw one out there 200 yards, and he took careful aim, held his breath, squeezed the trigger, and smoked a prairie dog, open sights, 200 yards, and then hit it a second time just because. Hitting a prairie dog at 200 yards is known...
Like a headshot.
Absolutely. It's no real proof of accuracy, but to do it in a practical field situation, not shooting from a bench or from a vise, that AK is going to do everything you need it to do.
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. You know, and today, too, you've got some American companies that are making some very nice ammo for it. I know Hornady is coming out with their VMAX load, and of course, you know, Corban, they make some very, very nice loads for the AK in conjunction with Barnes bullets and so on. That's what I carry in my AK that I keep in the car with me.
Oh, you mean you guys aren't shooting Wolf?
No, well, for Wolf is good for training because it's, you know, it's cheap, and if you need to shoot something important with it, it'll do the job. But you know, the Corban DPX, for example, that I've got in my little Suchka, we call those shorty Krenkovs, you know, it's like match ammunition for it.
Well, you know, I just picked up some Lake City. You know, it's fun to see the ammo start to come back now.
Mm-hmm, sure.
You know, that's a relief. You know, if anybody out there is carrying a 380 that's listening to the broadcast, you're still going to be in a hole, I do believe. But you are starting to see it come back. In fact, I saw one box at my local gun shop, Big Woods Goods, here in North Georgia today. And I said, man, you guys got 380 in there? And he says, nah, we just keep it on the shelf to make it look like we do. You know, he says, we're tricking everybody. We just don't sell the thing. It's really an empty box. But the fact of the matter is, it's fun to see the stuff come back. And I was able to pick up some Lake City Tracers. And I picked up a box of 50 of the Lake City Tracers, the orange tips. And I hadn't seen those out there in quite some time. Gabe, quickly, before we lose you on this hour here in the next few minutes, is the old adage true that you use your pistol to fight your way to a rifle or your shotgun?
Well, you know, why not just get the rifle or the shotgun first? You know, a lot of times you're going to have to fight with whatever you have. You know, it may even be just a ballpoint pen on an airplane somewhere. So, you know, you get good at what you have, and you use it like you have nothing else. Obviously, if you can upgrade, do it.
Talk to us about the shotgun real quick.
You know, for inside a building, inside a house, there's nothing better. It's a little bit indiscriminate sometimes, you know, it's not as versatile a tool, regardless of what some of the folks might say. It's not as versatile a tool as a rifle. You know, back in the old day, I had, you know, occasion to use a shotgun against some bad guys, and, you know, once they get hit, they stay hit. So, you know, I wouldn't discount it.
Now, if you're going to put that shotgun to home use, what are you going to put in that thing? You know, you hear everybody talk about everything from birdshot all the way on up to the Winchester law enforcement, you know, double aughts. What do you put in it?
You know, I do keep a shotgun at home, not so much against, you know, adversaries of the two-legged sort, but, you know, we live out in the woods and, you know, we have, you know, mountain lions and other predators that you know, may be a problem. And so I keep a Sega 12-gauge nearby, but I've got it loaded with buckshot.
Yeah, I should tell everybody that you're out in Arizona, my favorite state, and you said the free state of Arizona, and boy, there's never been a truer statement. You're living in the place I would love to live and call home.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, George, you're in a beautiful place, too, out there in Utah. Not too bad either.
He gets a little more snow than I do, though.
Yeah, well, you get the rattlesnakes he doesn't get.
a little less heat in the summer, but, you know, this desert air, being out west, it's the best place on the planet, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree.
Gabe, talk to us about, while we have the time here, about some of your other courses. You've got a whole litany of them here on the website that people can go and check out at SuarezInternational.com. SuarezInternational.com, and I encourage everybody listening to go check it out.
I checked it out, and I've already seen something I'm going to order. I'm going to order Gabe's, probably tomorrow, I'm going to order Gabe's shotgun training DVD.
Thank you.
Looks really good, Gabe.
Gabe, talk to us. You got free air here. Tell us.
We teach everything from basic pistol for soccer moms all the way up to, you know, high-risk operator team tactics and sniper and knife fighting. Anything that has to do with fighting, we teach it, no matter what it is.
Now, here's a question I'd like to get out there to you. With these guns flying off the shelves right now, the political climate in the United States, you've got a ton of new gun owners out
there. That's right.
Are you seeing them in attendance in your class, first-time owners?
I am in my classes, yeah. I know some folks in the training industry have been complaining that things have been slowing down for them, but, you know, with the right kind of marketing, we've been filling classes. I just expanded. I moved to a bigger building. I added two more employees, and, you know, this is huge, and I think America is taking a step in the right direction with this.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. I'm going to rapid fire these at you because I could sit and talk to you for hours. Is the wheel gun dead?
As a primary weapon, I think it is, but as a backup or as a small weapon that you take with you in a pinch, no, it's not dead by a long shot.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the most popular carry pieces is the 357 or the 38 Snubby, and, you know, I use it from time to time just to run out, you know,
and
grocery store or something.
And I sell a ton of them every day.
George, yeah, you know, that's a great question. You're working out there at Basin Sports. How many of those things are moving versus some of the semi-autos that are flying off the shelves?
You know, I've got a whole case dedicated to just wheel guns, and there's always somebody looking into that case. The wheel guns are still popular. I think they always will be, just like the blue jeans and the Ford Mustang. Mm-hmm. They're just classics.
Yeah, they really are. And, you know, the 38 caliber, I'm not going to get into the caliber debate here.
That's another show.
It is another show. But, you know, the 357, I can tell you, is a very formidable round. And if anybody's seen that video that you saw it on TV, I don't know, a couple years back where that attorney was walking out of the courthouse.
That's right.
You know, he got hit five times, Gabe, with the 38 and then walked away. And somebody actually had to tell him to go lay down.
That's right.
You know, and I think people see it in movies, and that's how they deal with things. Gabe, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been a pleasure.
On Armed American Radio. You're welcome back anytime. I hope you listen to us. You can pick us up on the web at 920WGKA.com.
Thanks,
ladies and gentlemen.
Gabe.
Yeah,
thanks,
appreciate
gentlemen.
It much. We will be back after the next break for our second hour with George Hill. And we'll tease who we're going to have on real quick. We're going to have Mr. Skip Coriel and Mr. Jim Irvine of the Buckeye Firearms Forum, who is just completing his broadcast on WHK 1420 in Cleveland right now. So don't turn the dial. Stay here, and we'll be right back after these messages for hour number two.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now.